CR101radio.com. Podcasts and more. Welcome back to another episode of Preschool Pioneers. I'm your host, Jeremy Walker. You can follow us on our parent network, CR101 Radio, on social media such as Facebook, Twitter, Gab, and YouTube. And you can subscribe to this podcast on your preferred platform so you never miss an episode. Visit CR101radio.com for these links. Well, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Preschool Pioneers. I am happy that you are with us. This episode is entitled, K is for Kool-Aid, How to Protect Children from Those That Claim to Love Children and Families, but who are actually actively seeking to destroy them. Well, in this episode of Preschool Pioneers, I want to talk about how we can protect children. What tools can we give them to help protect them? There are people in this world that will feign that they have love in their hearts, that they have the best interest of children and families, and that is the only thing that they seek. I want to start the stage with our scripture reading from Ephesians 4. This will set the stage for, one, how we can teach our children to identify people who do love them and do have their best interests at heart, and their families, and also where they can go for truth. So let's start Ephesians chapter 4. Quote, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth unto his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that ye may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Unquote. Ephesians chapter 4. The reason I started and read this entire chapter was because with our children, we must establish where does truth come from. And here on Preschool Pioneers, we talk about why Christian parents and Christian teachers are so very important. And it's not important because they themselves have anything to give their children or to others in their community that in and of themselves comes from them. What they have to give is the truth that has been given to them. Christians, Christian parents, especially Christian teachers, preachers, evangelists, we have a truth that has been given to us that we transmit to others. We are bearers of that truth. We are teachers of that truth. The goal is to go out and to teach others the truth, not just as an academic concept, but one that changes people's lives, that helps mold their lives moving forward. As we read here in Ephesians 4, when a person is converted, the sign of true conversion is not a profession of faith. So you can be a president of the United States. You can claim Christianity as your foundation of faith. You can claim Christ as your Lord. You can claim God and be a believer in Him. You can claim to attend church. You can claim to have a Bible. But unless you are a person who then shows godly character moving forward, you have a false profession of faith. You are somebody who is seeking to deceive, as this entire chapter is warning us about. Our children need to know that there are people out there who are trying to deceive them. They want to. They want to use you. They want to abuse you. They want to get their way and have you either help them do it or to take what comes, what you have, and make it their own. Whenever you look at the world and you're trying to get your children to look at the world, you have to say there are people all around the world that fit in the description that this entire chapter is talking about. Now, I recently became acquainted with, because I like the subject of how is it that a person, and this was a concept I had a long time ago, how is it a person can get somebody, what I might consider to be a normal, reasonable man or woman, to do things that I would say is whacked? I mean, how do you do that? One concept that I was struggling with a long time ago, when I was looking into the subject, I heard about the Oneida community. And John Knowles was the leader. And he led a community. It wasn't very small. It was quite a large community. Lots of families. And he became their leader. And eventually, as time progressed, he not only was able to have sexual relations with the other men's wives of that community. They would give their wives to him. Wife swapping was another one. But then, not only that, as the leader, the men and the women and the families were giving their young daughters, once they came of age, they would give their young daughters to the leader, John Knowles, to deflower. That's right, to take their virginity from them. And this was kind of, as the leader, his dues. And the thought occurred to me, because I had children at the time, this was a very long time ago when I started having children, I thought, how is it that somebody could convince somebody to do that? Because to me, I would look at that and say, there's no way on this planet that anyone could tell me they could have rights to my wife. Or that I would be like, oh yes, my child, my young daughter is now of age. Here she is. I will bring her to you on my own accord, and I will give her to you to abuse, to take her virginity, to defile her, And I'm going to be okay with this. In fact, it's my duty to do this. This is a righteous thing. To withhold my spouse, to withhold my child, would be an evil. Now, if you haven't thought about it before, that's what's going on when people are doing these things. They consider it righteous to do so, and unrighteous to refrain. I also became more acquainted with Jim Jones and the Jonestown, as it was called. And this all took place before I was born, but it was a very famous thing. And this episode is called K for Kool-Aid, because this is where the term came from. There in Jonestown, Jim Jones had gotten his followers to drink the Kool-Aid. Actually, it was what they called it. They were very particular. They didn't want their titled name, Kool-Aid, to be associated with mass suicide. But it was Flavor-Aid, just to be clear. But needless to say, he had gotten his followers to deliberately and purposefully poison themselves and their children, and then all die together. So I had to read about Jim Jones, and how could this happen? I mean, it's one thing for you to say, well, I'm going to give my wife over, we're going to wife swap, we're going to deflower my children. But now you're going to another level of saying, we're also going to commit suicide for you. So we're also going to give up our lives for this person. We have so much dedication. When this person calls for us to lay down our lives, we're just going to drink the Kool-Aid. And so I read about Jim Jones and how this was accomplished. And as you can guess, people like to throw around the word cult. That's right. They like to use the word cult. Now, if we're going to define cult, there's a couple different definitions. And if you look it up on the internet, one is a system of religious veneration and devotion directed towards a particular figure or an object. Another one will be a relatively small group of people having religious beliefs or practices regarded by others as strange or potentially sinister. And then there was one more, which was a small, simple definition, as they called it, for the term cult. What is a cult? And it was a small religious group that is not part of a larger and more accepted religion, and that they have beliefs regarded by many people as potentially extreme or dangerous. So these are the definitions for cult, and everybody likes to toss that term around for anybody that has a belief system that they do not agree with. In fact, Christianity right now is considered a cult. However, by these definitions, the funny thing is that Christianity is the largest religious denomination, or not, wouldn't call it denomination, but religious faith around the world. So it literally, by these definitions, cannot be considered a cult. It is the largest of all accepted religions, and everybody else would then be the cults, which actually is the true definition. For Christians, we have the true faith. Ephesians 4 is talking about that. Very, very clear. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and there's only one truth, and it is God through Christ. So for us, for Christians, everyone else who does not accept Christianity, they are the cults. Their ideas are extreme, and yes, their ideas are dangerous. How do we say that? Extreme. Well, look at John Knowles. Look at Jim Jones. They want people to listen to a man, not to God, but to a man and his whims and do whatever he says. Okay, we can all agree that that would be crazy. We'd agree that these people have some pretty whacked out ideas. But also, what else is extreme? Letting your children just do whatever they want. Raising children without any form of self-discipline or self-control. I would consider that to be overly extreme. Yet people who hold these new humanistic ideas of child rearing, they would not consider themselves to be in a cult, but actually, I would definitely put them into those categories. Why? It is extreme. They have two-year-olds now who are completely out of control. No one can watch them. No one can control them. Is it dangerous? Are children growing up without restraint, are they dangerous? Absolutely, they're dangerous. How do we know? Look at the school shootings. That's all you have to look at. The more children are left to themselves without a godly form of self-control, discipline, truth, and communal restraint, you are going to get dangerous barbarians who kill people. Right now, we have in many parts of the United States of America where you cannot go. You cannot go without being harassed, harmed, or even potentially killed. There are places in the UK and Canada in particular where they call them no-go zones. You're not allowed to go there. Because if you go there and you're not part of those people, whatever that is, whatever that group might be, you are going to be harmed or killed. There are college campuses where people have gone who do not agree with certain woke ideologies, and they are harmed. There was the swimmer out there, the one girl, I forgot her name at the moment, who was going to college campuses because she was trying to say it's not fair that we, as female swimmers, are competing against biological males who are obviously better than us. They're entering into us still. They're fully male. This is not a female. It's not right for us to compete against them. It's not fair. And because she did not agree with ideologies that are extreme, they became dangerous. They actually barricaded her in the college because they were going to hurt her or potentially kill her because she did not share their beliefs. So are these ideas extreme and dangerous? Absolutely. We have all around the United States of America, people doing protests, blocking down cities, harming people. We had people who were attacking people with skateboards. We had the one kid, I forgot his name, Rittenhouse, I think it was, who ended up in trouble because he tried to, maybe mistakenly, but he did try to help protect citizens and private property, and ended up having to be attacked by these people, and ended up defending himself, ended up somebody losing their life. Were those people extreme and dangerous because of their political beliefs? Absolutely. Were they cultish? Absolutely. Perfect definition of a cult. See, cults, when they talk about religion, they say, well, we aren't Christians, we're not Muslims, we're not whatever. Therefore, we're not religious. Absolutely, you are. Religion is anything that you hold as a personal belief, and it is true for you. That is your religion, no matter what that looks like. And one of the biggest forms of ideology is statism. Statism, political, religious fervor. This is a cult. Statism is a cult. Is it extreme? Absolutely, it's extreme. How do we know? Did you not just go through COVID like I did and everybody else, where they're locking everybody down? That right there is extreme. For what? If you didn't notice, all of a sudden, what was considered to be the flu ceased to exist. And everything that was a sickness was now COVID. And everybody was supposed to be dying. And if you did not get their, not a vaccine because it wasn't a vaccine, but if you did not get their experimental medication, which you did not know actually what was in it or being pumped into you, you were a dangerous person to society. Now, they were the ones pushing this stuff. Now, is that extreme? Was it dangerous? Well, now we're a couple years out. And they're coming out now with the truth. Everything that was being said was a complete fabricated lie. Everything. Nothing was they were saying was anything trustworthy. So what did the cult of statism want from the American people and the world? Blind trust. Just like John Knowles or Jim Jones. See, the first thing you have to give up is your standard of authority. For Christians, it is the Bible. That's our standard. We are sola scriptura for a reason. Now, these guys, you ask to give up that. As Christians, you can't give that up. But if you do give it up, you can be convinced to do anything. You can have Knowles there convince you to give up your daughters. You can have the Jim Jones people convincing you not only to kill yourself by drinking the Kool-Aid, but they have what's called the death tape on YouTube. You can pull it up. Of 45 minutes of the ending of all their lives. They have it on tape. And he is so reasonable and everything was just so perfect. And a good reason you should all die for me. And if you didn't, you were selfish. You were horrible. Just like if you didn't get an experimental vaccine, you were horrible. You were dangerous. And there were people willing to lay down their lives, first to their children. They literally poured the Kool-Aid down their children's throats first and watched them all die. What did our status want? Come get your experimental vaccine, put it in your kids, and then let's see what happens. Are people dying? Yes, they are. We have people dropping dead who should be healthy individuals all around the world, and nobody talks about it. Why? Because then you'd be sacrilegious. How could you dare give up your blind trust to your cultish, statist religious beliefs? So you have to give up everything, including your children. And that's why Christian parents and Christian teachers are so important. Don't dare give your children to somebody who doesn't obey God. Don't dare give your children to somebody who's going to teach your kids that God is wrong or doesn't even exist. And the only person to listen to without question is them. They will demand you give up your life. Even though people know what happened during COVID and everything that took place was horrible, destructive, and murderous, still nothing's being done. Why not? Because they view it as righteous. They're giving up our lives to prove our faith and to prove our dedication to our God, the state. Statism, humanism, is the number one cult in the United States of America, and it is evil. It is important for us as Christians that we teach our children how to love. And how you love is by keeping the commandments of God towards somebody, as it was in Ephesians 4, teaching those people to submit themselves only to God. God has our best interests at heart. A person who keeps God's commandments will live successfully in this world. Those that reject them will not. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Just take the sexual laws in and of themselves as an example. If you are going to keep God's commandments, and that means utilizing the concept of sexuality, human sexuality, in the appropriate way stated by God, you will be blessed, happy, and you will not be diseased or riddled with evil and dying physically. Yet the world is full of people who are, only because they reject God and his use of the human body, and yet they call that good. No, it's extreme, and it is destructive. If we love our children, we will warn our children about the dangers of people all around. It's not just statism. It is humanism. It is man. Any person that wants to convince you not to have God and the Word of God as your standard is evil. They do not have your best interests at heart. If you're a parent and a teacher, that has to be your standard. It has to be what you teach. Otherwise, they can convince you of anything. They can convince you to murder your own children, and it is the righteous thing to do. Then it's the righteous, noble thing to lay down your life for them. No, it's not. See, God doesn't ask you to lay down your life for him. He asks you every day to live for him. That's right. And he warns that there are people who can destroy the body, but they cannot destroy your soul. See, God wants you and your children to live and be prosperous in this world. The humanists of this world, they're in it for themselves. They want to hurt you. They want to hurt your family. And they won't stop until you give up. It is a war going on. But as a Christian parent and as a Christian teacher, are we just going to lay down and give in and let these people do what they want with our children? Are we just going to give up without a fight? Or are we going to stand up? Or are we going to stand up and say, you're not going to teach that to my child? This is Jeremy Walker for Preschool Pioneers. Christian parents and Christian teachers, we are the most important thing. We stand between the gap between our children and those that would do them harm. Do your job and love your children. God bless. We'll talk to you again soon.